Proof, the novel by Dick Francis, dramatized by Ernest Dudley, with Nigel Havers as Tony Beach. Part 3.
The next evening, following the horror at Jack Haythorne's party, his wife, Flora, had asked me over to walk around the stables with her. Well, that's what she said. But she soon made it clear that what she really wanted was to tell me something she knew about Larry Trent, owner of the Silver Moon Dance, who'd been killed at the party. According to Flora, he'd acted strangely over the way he bought a racehorse.
It was knocked down to him for £70,000.
Yeah, but you said he never bought him.
That's right. But he bought Moondancer. The Sporting Life reported the sale, but didn't refer to who'd bought it, nor who it had gone to trade. I checked. I'd like to have known to tell Jack.
But Larry Trent wouldn't have paid all that for a horse just to keep as a pet.
But not a mention anywhere. It had simply vanished. And the question is,
where has a racehorse worth £70,000 vanished to?
Exactly. What happened to Moondancer? And Tony, what really happened to Larry Trent?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, was it really an accident yesterday, or did someone mean to kill him?
But deliberately? But knowing that others would get killed?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time such a thing's happened.
No, Flora, you've got it wrong.
Have I? Well, there's something else. About the horse box.
The horse box? Yes, I'd noticed it's still here.
Sally, oh, that's Peter's wife, was quite hysterical over the phone this morning.
Sally and Peter who?
Oh, the Allens, dear, sorry. It's Peter Allen's horse box. Well, they're going to be ruined if the horrid insurance people can prove negligence.
Yeah.
They'd been to fetch a hunter, the horse that was making such a fuss, remember?
Yes, I thought it would kick its way out. Where's it now, incidentally?
I'm keeping it here for the time being. Sally's absolutely positive Peter never left the handbrake off and always left it in gear.
But he couldn't have locked it, could he?
Well, as Sally said, you don't lock your car when you're at friends, do you?
Well, all the same, it's a pity he didn't.
The police were going over the horse box this morning. For fingerprints, they said.
Fingerprints?
They were there for hours, smothering the driving seat and all inside with powder stuff, just like they do in films. Come and see.
Yes, I'd like to.
There you are, Tony. You can see sort of pinky-grey powder everywhere.
They've certainly made a job of it.
Inside, too. Look at the driver's seat. They've dusted that with the powder. They didn't seem to like what they found. Shaking their heads, they were. They were here all morning.
It still isn't locked.
Oh, Tony, do you think you ought to?
They didn't tell you to stay away, did they?
Well, actually, no.
Well, just having a look. We've had a good go at it here, too. There's powder everywhere. Steering wheel, dashboard. And the prints are much clearer. Good God.
What is it, Tony? What have you found?
Well, they're tiny.
What are? What are tiny?
The fingerprints. They're all tiny. Everywhere.
Let me look.
See? All over the steering wheel, the gears, the brake.
Yes, they are. Oh, Tony, they're a child. Oh.
What's the matter, Flora?
Oh, I don't know. But it's the idea that it may have been a child who caused such horror.
Well, you know how they love cars. They're always climbing into my van when I deliver things. Now, I guess that child I saw released the brake as well as the gear. Then, when he'd run off, the weight of the van eventually made it roll down the hill.
Did you know that I have a child? A son, by my first marriage?
No, I didn't.
It was the sort of game he would have played when he was little. Oh, not meaning to do anything bad, but... Oh, Tony, how thoughtless of me. Oh, your lovely Emma was going to have a baby. Oh, I am so sorry.
No, it's all right, Flora.
Oh,
it's
do
right.
Forgive me.
Now, how does the prospect of a drink grab you?
Oh, what a wonderful thought. It's the best you've had today. Come on, Tony.
We retired to the house and drank to Jack and Jimmy's speedy recovery. Well, to Jack and Jimmy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, it's so difficult with both of them being out of action. The hospital said Jack won't be home for several days. Tony?
Mm-hmm?
I hope you don't mind my asking, but, well, would you, could you, come with me to the Martineau Park meeting on Thursday?
The Martineau races?
Yes.
Good Lord, I haven't been there since...
Well, perhaps you're too busy. Too busy at the shop, I mean.
Or perhaps, is Thursday early closing?
No, no, I don't have early closing, but, well, I could always leave Mrs. Palliser in charge.
Oh, she is a treasure. Only, you see, Jack has this horse running there with a very awkward owner, and Jack insists I must be there. But honestly, the wretched owner makes me feel so flummoxed and stupid.
Wow, a day at the races, eh?
I did think you might enjoy it.
And why not, come to think of it?
What, you will come?
I'd like to, a lot.
Oh, are you sure it's all right?
Yeah, of course I'm sure.
Oh, Tony, you've been such a rock. I can't tell you. You've made me feel so much better.
That's what you told Gerard McGregor.
Gerard? Oh, of course, you know him, don't you?
Well, you recommended me to him, remember?
Well, yes. He wanted an expert on whiskey.
Tell me, what kind of a job does he do exactly?
Oh, he's some sort of business consultant, I think. He's always travelling, all over the place. He's such a clever man. He's so civilised. Oh, and such a nice man, too.
Mm.
The same as you, dear. Thank you for the way you helped out yesterday. I told Gerard he should buy some wine from you, so perhaps he will.
I'd half a mind to ask Flora for Gerard's phone number, to tell him I wanted to cry off. I don't quite know why I had this premonition, unless it was because of her reference to my wife and the child we never had. Emma would have hated me becoming involved in any violence or crime, but I didn't ask for the number. Next day was another busy one for which I was always grateful. When 4 o'clock and Gerard and his Mercedes duly arrived, it was too late to do anything about it, except go along with it.
I half expected you to cry off.
Well, I half wanted to.
But?
I don't know. I admit I did have a certain curiosity. Anyway, here we go.
On our way to see Kenneth Charter, Managing Director, Charter Carriers. And when I tell you, Tony, for every several thousand tons of scotch he carries, the duty totals over 100,000 quid.
Yes, that's big money.
Trouble is, on 3 occasions this year, a charter's tanker full of whiskey has never made its destination. It wouldn't be accurate to say the tanker was stolen, because on each occasion it's turned up, but without its contents. Customs and excise immediately demanded duty since the scotch was no longer in the tanker. Charter has twice had to pay up.
So what about the insurance?
Well, charters are, or have been, insured, of course, but now they're really in trouble. The insurers, despite rocketing up their premiums, are now saying enough's enough and are withholding payment.
And they won't extend any further cover?
Correct. And one more little thing. Customs and excise threaten to take away their license to carry goods and bond, which wipes out a major part of charter's business.
Meaning charter won't be able to operate at all?
Right.
Was it always the same tanker and driver involved?
I know. No, it wasn't always the same driver, but it was always the same tanker.
So what happened to the driver? I mean, and where did the tanker turn up?
Well, the tanker's turned up each time abandoned in a Scottish car park.
The same car park?
No, different car parks. The drivers don't remember what happened.
How do you mean, don't remember?
I know. Well, it goes like this. The driver remembers setting off from the distillery, right?
Yeah.
Reaches the border, stops at a service station for a pee, a coffee, whatever.
Always the same service station?
Not always, but there are only two the drivers used.
Right, so what happens next?
None of them remembers what happens next, except waking up in a ditch. Never the same ditch.
Tell me, what's the police angle?
Well, the police theory is that the thieves tail the tanker from the distillery. When the driver has to stop to answer the call of nature, thieves slip a can of nitrous oxide, probably, into the driving car.
Ah, right, laughing gas. That'll be it. No smell, and you're out like a light.
So, when the driver gets back in, he becomes unconscious before he can drive off.
How long ago was the last load stolen?
Just over 3 weeks.
Yeah, and before that?
One in June, one in April.
So that's one in every 3 months. No wonder insurance are creating.
Scotch doesn't always come from the same distillery. The last tanker full came from Helensburgh in Dumbartonshire. The one previous to that from the Pitlochry distillers.
Another question. Where does the Silver Moon Dance fit into all this?
And a good question, Tony. But one Charter himself can best answer.
It was still a bit vague how exactly my perhaps dubious ability to tell one brand of scotch from another would help solve the puzzle of the missing whiskey tankers. Also, I wasn't quite sure how much Gerard ought to know about Paul Young or about Flora's story of Larry Trent and his vanishing racehorse, and not forgetting the man from the CID. was any of it really relevant to what I'd become involved in? And I'd sensed he wasn't quite the same Gerard McGregor I'd first met. Now, behind the quiet, gentle manner, I detected a hardness, a narrowing of the eyes. He smiled less. Perhaps, I thought, I'll just play it by ear.
One thing about you, Tony.
What's that?
What Flora said. Why you've got the job. You listen.
Oh, which reminds me...
I know. You're wondering how you're going to pull your weight in this business.
Well, I do like to get value for money.
Well, I can tell you. When we find that scotch, which I mean to do, come hell or high water, that's where you'll come in. You'll be able to tell us what brand it is, where it came from, and who the distillers were.
God, well, I hope I can deliver.
Let me put a question to you. What happens next, after you've hijacked a bloody great tanker full of scotch?
Well, you flog the stuff, obviously.
Just like that?
No, after you've diluted it, of course. Each load is of a higher concentration than is ever sold for drinking, so you increase the quantity, which ups the profit.
That's it. Incidentally, what do the crooks dilute the whiskey with? Ordinary water?
Well, plain water will do, but the quality of the water will affect the scotch. But, of course, crooks who steal scotch whiskey usually go for cases of it, in the bottle. I mean, ready for the receiver, they've got all lined up, right?
Right.
And after that, your only headache is how to spend the profits.
Which can't give you all that much trouble.
But if you steal it in bulk, like a tankerful, you do have a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
Well, you've got costs. I mean, the costs of bottling it. Because you can't flog it in bulk, you can only sell it in bottles. Yes, you've also got labour costs, storage costs, etc., etc. Here's plus one other little item, which I'm sure has already occurred to you.
Just supposing it hasn't.
Well, you need some place where you can transfer the bulk whiskey into bottles.
A bottling plant?
Well, you need a place to store the bottles. I mean, tens of thousands of them, once filled.
A warehouse, then?
Yeah, well, it's not something you can mess about with in a backyard, is it?
Bottling plants, warehouses.
Sure, which leaves you wide open to being discovered.
By God, yes. Thanks, Tony. You're not only a good listener, you can put it into words, too.
By the way, where are the tanker loads bound for, if and when they ever reach there?
A bottling plant just outside Watford.
And every trip will go to the same plant?
That's right.
Oh, it's very convenient for charters carriers.
I wouldn't know about that, just happens to be the case. Any more questions?
Yes. Why has Charter employed you instead of leaving the police to sort it out?
That's a tricky one. When a firm calls us in, it's usually because there's something they don't want the police to know about. Like fraud, for instance. A firm doesn't want an investigation, which would inevitably entail prosecution and consequent publicity.
Yes, I can understand that.
Kenneth Charter told me certain things in confidence he didn't tell the police, or Her Majesty's Customs and Excise.
I see.
I think I'll leave him to decide how much he wants to sell you.
We left the motorway, and we're in that semi-suburban sprawl of North London. We turned off into a gloomy industrial area with factories mushrooming in a concrete field. Then there was this large white signboard in red and black, Charter Carriers Limited. Next, the wide garage-like premises, the office block, and Kenneth Charter in his very functional office behind a wide, tidy desk. He appeared reasonably relaxed, and there were the briefest introductions.
So you're the consultant. No greybeard, are you? You'll want to know what liquid you were looking for, or could you guess?
I did a mental flip through the occasional nips here and there, and checked against the memory of the Silver Moon Dance. It's Rannoch.
You told him, McGregor.
No, I didn't.
I sell it, and there aren't that many brands shipped in bulk out of Scotland to be bottled down here. Did you get a profile of that load?
A what?
What we call a profile is a sort of chemical analysis. Comes in the form of a graph.
I don't know about profiles. All I can tell you is it's 58% alcohol by volume.
A profile is minutely accurate, Mr. Charter, like human tissue typing. It's a lot more advanced than a blood test.
I don't ask what's in the stuff. I don't drink it either. Addles your brains, rots your guts. I just ferry it.
Well, if you took a sample of it from the distillers and matched it with the sample the police took from the Silver Moon Dance, you'd know for sure, one way or another.
How much does he know?
Enough for you to let him know what led us to the Silver Moon Dance in the first instance.
Up till now, there was no reason for anyone else, customs, police, to connect the place with my stolen tankers because they weren't aware and still aren't of any link.
I told him you'd fill him in. It's the only way I can help you.
All right, understood. Mr. Beach, will you look at this notebook? That page. Read what it says.
Tell ZUNP 786Y takes off Monday 10 a.m.
Mean anything?
Well, if it's the Silver Moon Dance, Z stands for Zarek, the wine waiter, and UNP 786Y would be the registration number of your tanker.
Not bad.
I told you.
He makes it seem quite exciting.
Didn't I say?
UNP 786Y set out at 10:15 a.m. Monday a month back to pick up a bulk load of rannoch from Fairley's warehouse near Helensburgh on Tuesday to deliver to the bottling plant Wednesday evening.
Is that the bottling plant at Watford?
Well, the other side of Watford.
Oh, right.
Wednesday evening, no UNP 786Y. Then, Thursday morning, it's found parked outside a pull-up for drivers the other side of Edinburgh. Customs and Excise duly impounded it, and we're still minus tanker UNP 786Y.
Mm. Do you know who wrote this?
Yes, I do. My son.
Your son?
That's right. My own boy.
Ah, and what's he got to say about it? I mean, 6,000 gallons of scotch can't be hidden that easily. I mean, the Silver Moon Dance wouldn't use that in 6 years, let alone 6 months.
He went abroad 2 weeks ago for a holiday. I don't expect him back for some time.
Well, couldn't you get in touch with him?
He went to Australia, and the little bugger can stay there, so far as I'm concerned. The last thing I want is him back here and sent to jail.
He left for Australia when?
2 weeks ago. I took him to Heathrow myself. The notebook had fallen out of his pocket in the car. Not much in it, just a few phone numbers. Then I spotted my tanker's number and felt pretty sick, I can tell you.
Yes, I'm sure.
And that explains why Mr. Charter came to us.
And there you have it, Mr. Beach.
Right.
My own son. Police and customs and excise chasing all over the place for the crook who's tipped off the thieves. And there he was in my own house.
Do you mind if I ask some questions?
That's what you're here for, Tony.
Right. It would be reasonably easy for him. What's his name, by the way?
Kenneth. Junior, I call him.
So, Kenneth, he would know a bit about your business. I mean, when a tanker would be leaving on a job, for instance.
Well, he could come into my office any time in working hours. There used to be a chart on this wall. It's hidden now under this map. There you are. There's the whole fleet. My silver fleet. Their registration numbers are down this column, each labelled with a different colour to show what it's carrying. Yellow for whiskey, red for wine, etc., etc. UNP 786Y is sixth from the top. My secretary, been with me 20 years and totally trustworthy, keeps the chart so we know day by day, well, almost hour by hour, where each tanker is, and who's the driver, the job he's on, every detail at a glance.
Do your drivers know beforehand where the job is?
For a long time now, we haven't told them where they're going until the moment they take off. I don't have to tell you what the risks are these days.
Well, I know what you mean.
We often switch a driver at the last minute, and we have an absolute rule. All tanker doors to be locked if he so much as sets foot out of his cab.
What happened in the case of the stolen load?
In the case of the stolen loads, each driver swore he kept to the rule. Locked up when he had to leave his cab, found nothing suspicious when he came back. And you know what happened? All the years we've had no problems until these last 3 months. And to think it took my own son to crack the system.
Well, it may not be quite like that, Mr. Charter. He didn't work here?
No.
Would you have liked him to have done?
He didn't want to work for me, so I told him, stay away. But he could sneak in here, no problem.
And he could have had a key?
Oh, yes.
Well, and get past security?
He'd con his way past. After all, he was my son. He'd make up some clever excuse.
I think all you've heard makes sense. Do you agree, Tony?
Oh, yes, yes. It figures all right.
Now, it seems to me the next move should be...
Zarek.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Tell ZUNP786Y.
Zarek was getting information from young Kenneth and passing it on.
Who to? That's what we need to know now.
You don't think your son would be any more involved than that? I mean, just passing on the info?
I wouldn't think so. Playing the industrial spy would be just about his mark.
Nor was Zarek involved in the action. He was too busy at the restaurant.
We checked.
So, there's obviously someone out there.
Some bastard who's grounded my entire fleet. Stuck in the garage. My driver sat at home watching TV. Customers going elsewhere.
I'd like to have a look at the tankers, please.
See them in the flesh, you mean? Would you really?
Yes.
Come on, then. You too, Mr. McGregor.
Yes, yes, I'd like to.
Follow me. You can see the tank itself is oval in section and pretty solid on its chassis, with a low centre of gravity against overturning hazards.
Yeah, I noticed you've left all the bodywork unpainted.
I said it was my silver fleet.
Did you say you carried wine as well?
Used to carry a lot once. Fetched it from France. Took it to shippers near here who bottled it. Now they bottle most of it in France, where half the bottling plants are scratching around for new business. Hard times, closures.
Mm-hmm. See, there's no name and address or phone number on the tankers.
No. It's all kept strictly anonymous. Part of the security. My son, the traitor within.
How old is he?
Junior?
Yeah.
Just turned 18, though you take him to be older, more like 25.
Was he into drugs, do you think, Mr. Charter?
No. He'd always been a pain in the arse. Sullen, lazy, rude. I'd have to leave the room so as not to hit him sometimes. Didn't he know he'd ruin me in this business? Didn't he care? Did he mean to? Half these tankers are being bought on loans, and if I can't service the loans, the banks will foreclose, and I'll kiss the lot goodbye.
Well, you won't have to do that, Mr. Charter. I promise you.
2 weeks, Mr. McGregor. That's all you've got to bloody save my life. I hear you're a bit of a racing man, Tony.
Well, my family were.
I used to be interested, once. So what sort of odds would you quote me that I won't be out of business in 2 weeks? 100 to 1? Or even longer?
Shorter. A hell of a lot shorter. A sporting chance, I'd say.
Any thoughts?
Oh, yes. Mainly, why do you need me?
For what you know, as I told you. And because people talk to you. Charter told you far more than he told me. About his son.
So I wonder if he really is in Australia.
Why, do you think he might have come back?
Yes.
We know he arrived and stayed in the Sydney motel for a couple of nights. After that, well, he definitely hasn't used his return ticket. In any case...
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of.
What?
Well, what you're going to say. Charter's instructions are not to look for him.
Right. But we wouldn't know if he came back.
Yes, it's terrible. Hearing him talk about his son that way. Though the boy does sound pretty awful.
He does, doesn't he?
Well, let's hope for the sake of the family that he doesn't come back. He didn't make any mention of the mother. It's all gone very quiet suddenly.
I was afraid you'd ask him that.
If I had, shouldn't I have done?
Kenneth Jr.'s mother is Flora, by her first marriage, before she married Jack Hathorne.
We drove back through the dark evening, with a storm blowing up ahead, while I recovered from the jolt Gerard had given me. He hadn't added much more. It seemed Kenneth Jr. had been responsible for his mother's health breakdown and the ultimate ruin of the marriage. What else did I know? Well, Charter had filled me in on the hijacking of his whiskey tankers. We'd pinpointed Zarek at the Silver Moon Dance. He could obviously name who was behind the hijacking, and he was our immediate target. I said to Gerard I had one or two special customers looking in at the shop, and would he get me back by 7? I'd still held back from him about Detective Sergeant Ridger and what Flora had told me about Larry Trent. It was arranged we'd meet again next morning to plan our next move, and he dropped me at the shop. I'd only just got inside when the phone rang. Hello?
Detective Sergeant Ridger here, Mr. Beach. I was wondering if you could come over to the Silver Moon Dance.
What, now?
If you could, sir.
But why?
I'd rather explain that when you're here. It is urgent, sir.
All right, then. With a mixture of exasperation and curiosity, I drove out to the Silver Moon Dance. There were fewer lights on than before, and even less of an air of anything happening, though a police car was parked outside. I found Ridger in the wine cellars.
What was in here yesterday? You came down for that wine, didn't you?
What do you remember of the contents?
What the hell's been going on?
Well, someone's stolen every bottle in the place, along with the wine lists. Could you itemise what was down here?
Well, I'll try.
Well, we can use Trent's office if you like. More comfortable up there.
Right. Oh, very plush. Not much work done in here, I don't suppose.
Racing photos all over the walls. Bit of a gambler, I imagine.
Yes, a gambler whose luck ran out. Head office must be fuming about all this. What did your friend Paul Young have to say,
As a matter of fact, the telephone number he gave me is unobtainable. I've a man checking it now.
Well, he wrote it down himself.
Yes, I know that. People do make mistakes.
Well, their own number.
Excuse me, sir, that phone number, it's been checked.
Yes?
Doesn't exist. Never has existed. Nor does the address. No such street.
Thank you, Horton. Finished searching the place yet?
Not yet, sir. Still one more office in the entrance hall, marked staff only.
Well, get on with it, then.
Sergeant?
Shit.
Yes, quite so. Well, I'll get on with that list, then. They did a pretty thorough job.
You cleared the trolley in the dining room and the bar.
Yes, highly methodical.
Mr. Richard, sir! Mr. Richard, here, sir, quick!
What the hell? What's the matter with him?
You better go and find out.
Oh, jeez.
Horton?
Oh, in there, Sergeant.
What is it, man?
It's...
Oh, God almighty.
What? Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm going to be sick.
I've never seen anything like this.
Not an everyday sight.
In Proof by Dick Francis, Nigel Havers played Tony Beach, George Parsons, Gerard, Jennifer Piercy, Flora, Chaz Breyer, Charter, Stephen Hattersley, Sergeant Ridger, and James Good, P.C. Horton. Proof is directed by Matthew Walters.